So let's start. The first thing I thought it's important to know is like the context. What does it mean, context? Today, nowadays, 2024, if you think about korbanos and offerings, if you think about doing an offering, you're not only going to have like a cultural block, you're also going to have a problem with your neighbors, and you're going to have a problem with the country itself, where they see that you're actually sacrificing dogs and cats or cows or whatever you're doing. If any neighbor, how do you say, they call the police on you, you're going to have problems. You're really going to have problems. So it's really difficult for us to understand what is the Torah talking about. So first thing, we have to understand the context. What's the context? From the beginning of humankind, from first man, when he was born, so to speak, quote unquote, he offered the korban. He offered a sacrifice. That's the first thing he came up with, like, how can I thank God just for existing? I'm going to do an offering. Then Cain and Hevel, the first two children, so to speak, afterwards Cain kills Hevel because of the korbanos also, that's one explanation, they offered also sacrifices. Then you have Noach. Noach, when he came back from after the flood, came out of the sheep, whatever the sheep he had, he offered offerings. Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the forefathers of the Jewish people, they offered offerings. And so on, in the whole story of humankind, not just Jewish people, offering sacrifices. If you see, if you go, or if you learn story, for instance, in South America, it's very common, very common. You have the Incas, whatever, they lived in Peru. You have the Aztecas, they live in Mexico. They offered sacrifices, and they had no relationship at all with us as Jews. No relationship at all. So with this, I want to bring out, I'm sorry, that this idea is like ingrained within us. You're going to say, today, I never thought about bringing an offering. Not today, not yesterday, since I was born. And since I learned this parsha, before learning this parsha, these books or these ideas, I never thought in my life to bring an offering to God. So why is the rabbi saying that this is ingrained in humankind? Okay, Western culture molded our heads, for good and for not so good, whatever the case is, doesn't matter, that certain ideas and certain concepts, we just reject them. We just say, wow, this is not for me. But that doesn't mean that they are really strange. They're not. Sacrifices is one of the cases. It's not strange. It's actually part of our daily life. When in the times that the temple was constructed, I'm going to talk about this in a minute. And today also. What do I mean today? Today we don't offer animals. We do not offer animals. Today we offer ourselves. We're going to talk about this like later at the end. This is like the fifth idea. But this is what I want to say, like, just to open the subject. This is something ingrained in our being as human beings. Then things changed. Okay, things changed, but that's a cultural problem. And if you go to other places in the world, this is a common thing, a normal thing. It's a normal thing to offer offerings. Now, if you look at the time, so to speak, time span from the creation till now, there are more years that people offered offerings, sacrifices, than span of time, where people did not offer offerings. From the beginning, like I said, the first man, Cain, Hevel, Noach, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, then Jewish people, where in Egypt, I'm jumping quite a few years, but whatever, Jewish people in the desert also offered offerings. Actually, the previous sections of the previous book and the first sections of this book and this, actually the whole book, the third book of the Torah, talks about the Mishkan, the tabernacle. Where, what did they do in the tabernacle? Korbanos, offerings. What's the Beis Hamikdash, the temple? Maimonides says, there are others that argue with Maimonides, but Maimonides says, it's a house to do offerings. That's the main thing of the Beis Hamikdash. And then when Jewish people entered the land of Israel, they built the Mishkan, the tabernacle, in different places, in Gilgal, in Shiloh, in Nob, Givon, whatever. It was almost, not completely, but almost 400 years of this like temporary temple built. And then they built the temple. The first one lasted 410 years. The second, they went a span of time, 70 years, no temple. Then 420 years. And just for the last 2,000 years, we did not offer sacrifices. So when you look at the time, for more than 3,000 years, everybody did offerings. And only the last almost 2,000 years, without offerings, or 2,000 years and plus, whatever, almost 2,000 years without offerings. That means that more time offering than not offerings. So it's, again, it's a common thing. That's the context. Could sound strange. Yes, it could sound strange, but it doesn't take out the fact that it is not strange. That's introduction, point number one. Where are the sacrifices written? Okay, all the details of sacrifices are in this third book of that we're learning right now, Parsha Shmini, Parsha Vayik, Ratzav, Shmini, and the next ones also. There, the Torah explains basically the main laws of sacrifices: who, where, how, what. We're going to learn this in a few minutes. There are also other sections of the Torah, parshas of the Torah, where korbanos are also explained in different details. For instance, in Parshas Shlach, at the end of Parshas Shlach, if I don't remember wrong, or Parshas Koirach, I think, it talks about libations, where they used to pour wine, used to pour water also in the temple, in the altar. We're going to explain this in a minute. In Parshas Pinchas, it talks about the additional offerings, like Shabbat, Yom Tev, Rosh Chodesh. So where is this, all these laws explained? In the written Torah, in the third book of Torah, mainly in the first three parshas, two, three parshas. In the writings of our sages, as I showed you before, the Rambam is the one that codifies, he actually, let me say it better, he gathers from the Talmud, both Mishnah and Gemara. It doesn't matter if you don't understand these two words, forget it, it's the Talmud. He gathers from there the details and puts it in a very orderly, structured way. Rambam was a huge, structured guy. So he structures the korbanos, the offerings, and actually the whole Torah itself. But there's another book by the Rambam, by Maimonides, which is called Moireh Nevuchim. Moireh Nevuchim means a guide for the perplexed. You might have heard about this book. It's a very philosophical book. Very hard book to learn, very hard. And there, in the third part of the book, he gives explanations for the commandments. Why did God send us to do all the commandments? And he gives all kinds of explanations, and he was so criticized for this. Oy vey, terrible, terrible. For korbanos, what does he say? And I'm sharing this because at some point you could learn this by yourself also. You can like Google knows everything, Rabbi Google, and you can read about this in the Torah itself. So I'm trying to add some kind of salt and pepper. What does the Rambam write about korbanos? It says like this. Look, the people, the people that lived in Canaan, in the land of Canaan, before it was the land of Israel, they did korbanos, they did offerings. And if the Jewish people was going to live, enter this land and live sometime at least, we have to actually eradicate them, but sometime we share, and the Jewish people have to see that other peoples have this idea of korbanos, which again, this is my addition, it's not that Rambam says this, it's ingrained within us, other people do it and we don't do it, they're going to feel bad. They're going to see and say, look, this service of God is lacking something. Something is wrong over here. So God said, okay, you know what? I'm going to give you also offerings. Go do the offerings. You're not going to feel strange. That's what the Rambam writes. Again, he was very, very criticized for this. And it doesn't mean And it doesn't mean that this is the reason why sacrifices are done. No, it's not the reason. This is what the Rambam writes. In another place, in the Mishneh Torah actually, the Rambam writes that the korbanos, the offerings, don't have any reason. There is no reason for them. What's all about? So why do we have to do it? Because God wants this. And this is a very fundamental concept, idea in Judaism. All the commandments, like the it's called the Yesod, the fundamental part, the most deep part of all the commandments, is because this is what God wants. Not because we're going to have any benefit, not in this world, in the world to come, not in any way, in any form. And we cannot really understand why God wants this. Some commandments, I don't know if you ever heard about this, but some commandments we actually can understand. Like don't kill, don't steal, respect your honor, your father and your mother. It makes sense. Even if the Torah doesn't say it, it makes sense. We could not really understand them unless the Torah says, look, this is a good thing to do, so we do it. For instance, Pesach. In a short while comes Pesach. Pesach means remembering going out of Egypt. So it's nice. We wouldn't do it unless God says. And now that God said it, why not? Makes sense. Like, be happy in your birthday and be happy when the Jewish people went out of Egypt. Makes sense. But certain commandments don't make any sense at all. Korbanos, offerings, is one of them. Kashrus, in the parsha of this week, is one of them. Now, you're going to say, wait a second. In one book, the Rambam writes one thing. In a different book, the Rambam writes a different thing. So, make up your mind. Does it have a reason or does it not have a reason? So, the commentators say something very simple to answer this question. What are the books written for? Why did the Rambam write Moireh Nevuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed? Exactly for that, for the perplexed, for people in his times that were straying away of Judaism, going to philosophy, Aristotelic philosophy, etc. So they needed like brain, they needed reason, they needed explain. Don't say, God wants. I don't care if God wants, I want to understand. So the Rambam wrote for them these ideas. Look, okay, you want to understand? I'm going to give you something to chew, something to understand. But Mishneh Torah, it's a book of laws, and it's a book of the fundamentals of Judaism. So in the fundamentals, forget it, doesn't have any reason. That's what God wants. That's it. One more point to understand again, in this part that we're talking about, what is it written and why. One more point. The Ramban, Nachmanides, which is not the same as the Rambam, Maimonides, they both lived in Spain. Ramban lived in the 1200s. I explained this before. The Ramban writes something very interesting. According to one of the types of offerings that I'm going to explain later, the Ramban writes like this. Look, when a person does what in Hebrew is called Aveira. Aveira means you transgress the Torah. You didn't do what the Torah told you to do, which, to be more technical and more precise, you did something that the Torah said you should not do. Torah says, don't do this, and you did it. Okay, you did it. What do you want from me? I did it. So the Torah says, bring an offering. Not in all cases. In some cases, yeah, some cases, no, whatever. We're talking about the cases where the Torah says, go bring an offering. We're going to learn this later. Go bring an offering. So the Ramban explains something very interesting. It's kind of tough, hard, but it's interesting. Actually, you should die. You did something God said you should not do. There's no tikkun, there's no way to fix this. Forget it, you're out of the system. You should die. That's like the rationality, what brain dictated. You should die, you're out of the system. However, God has a lot of mercy on us. And he said, look, let's interchange. Instead of you dying, because you did something you're not supposed to do, let's put an animal. And the animal should die. However, it's not just saying, hey, an animal dies, I'm going to do anything. Anyway, an animal dies. No. No. The point is, this is what the Ramban writes. You should be looking at what happens with this animal. They slaughter the animal. They take out the skin of the animal. they sprinkle the blood of the animal, as I'm going to explain in a few minutes. So you should be looking all of that and thinking, that should happen to you. You should be offered in the altar. However, again, God is merciful, so he said, let's put an animal. And that's the point of bringing an animal or bringing an offering, saying, look, God has mercy, and you should understand the find the word, the difficult or the severity of what you did. Oh, that's the one. The severity of what you did. You should know it, because that should happen to you, but it doesn't, because God is good. Sacrifice offering in a very, again, simple, in a very simple way means today we have to offer ourselves to God. And sacrifices, you can understand it in a very simple way, in every aspect of our lives, we have to sacrifice ourselves. There are many sacrifices people do. Some because they don't want to eat, so they sacrifice themselves that they don't eat. Some because they have to eat, so they sacrifice themselves that they eat, and so on. One of the, again, very simple idea, one of the things that we learn from the sacrifices is God wants us to sacrifice ourselves in many aspects of life. So we're bringing the world closer to God. This is going to help us to understand one idea, like a mystical idea, which I think is very powerful, that the Alter Rebbe, the founder of Chabad movement, brings, explaining the ideas of sacrifices. The verb to sacrifice in Hebrew is called lehakriv. Korban means a sacrifice. Lehakriv korban means to offer a sacrifice. And this is the word used in the Torah. The word lehakriv in Hebrew comes from the word karov. Karov means close. So lehakriv means actually to become closer to God. Become closer to God. What's the relationship between bringing an animal and getting closer to God? Apparently there's no relationship. So the Alter Rebbe explains this in a very interesting way. In two ideas I want to share. Two ideas like to close. I have one more thing. No, I'm not closing. But I want to share these two ideas. If you look at the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, which is the beginning of the third book of the Torah, the Torah says that God calls Moses, Moshe, Vayikra Moshe, and God shares with Moshe the laws of sacrifices. Starts all the laws of sacrifices. But right at the beginning, there's a quote-unquote, a problem. What's the problem? The wording of the Torah is weird. And we know that the word Torah comes from the word Torah, which means teaching. And if the wording is weird, it's because it's teaching us something, not because there's a mistake over here. There's no mistakes. Torah is perfect. God is perfect. His wisdom is perfect. So what is it trying to say? What's the weird wording? The Torah says, Adam in Hebrew, I'm going to translate. Adam ki yakriv mikem korban lashem. A man, which also includes women, so it's the same. A man, when Adam ki yakriv, when he offers from you an offering to God. That's the exact translation. Adam ki yakriv mikem korban lashem. A man, when he offers from you means a man from you, an offering to God. What is the offering of? Mina Beheima, says the verse continues. Mina Beheima, Mina Bakar, Mina Tzonta, Kribus Korbanchen, from the animals, from the cows and the oxen and from the sheep, you have to bring your animal, etc., etc., and the book continues. The Alter Rebbe asks the following question, very simple question. The wording of the Torah should say, a man from you, when he decides to offer, he should offer ta-ta-ta, this and that. And then tell me the laws of the offerings. But the wording should not be a man when he offers from you an offering. A man from you, one of you guys, when you offer something, do it like this. This is what the Alter Rebbe asks. And he answers in two ways. Both, in my humble opinion, are very powerful. Both are very powerful and require like a long explanation. I'm going to do it very short as I can, as brief as I can. The first explanation is like this. What is the Torah in a very deep level, not in a simple level? In simple level, it's just telling you the laws of the offerings, and that's it. God decided to say it like this, and just don't ask. Continue learning. But in a deep level, what does that mean when the Torah says, Adam ki yakriv mikat, when a man offers? Man is not one of us. Man is referring to Adam ha'Elyon, God. He is called the supernal man. There's a vision of Yechezkel, I'm not going to go into the details, where he sees a whole carriage, whatever, with animals, and there's a man over there sitting. That represents God. God is not a man. That God doesn't have a shape, doesn't have a form, doesn't have a body, but is represented by a man. So when the Torah says Adam, man, it's not talking about us. It's talking about God. Okay, so let's continue with the reading of the verse. When God, Yakriv, it's not offers, it brings closer, because it's coming from the word Karoiv. When God decides to bring closer one of you, Adam ki yakriv mikem. Adam is God, ki yakriv, when he brings closer, mikem, of you, one of you, guys. When God decides to bring you closer, for whatever reason, it depends on him. So what should you do? What do I do now? What does that mean that God decides to bring us closer? There are situations, each one of us is different and has different times and timings and etc. But there are situations in which a person feels, hey, this is God calling me. I'm not saying that you're hearing voices, go to a doctor. If you hear voices, go to a psychiatrist, you need help. But you feel, hey, what I just saw, the situation I just lived, the person I spoke with, he told me something that this is a message from God. I mean, serious and normal person, we can also have situations in which we feel God is talking to me. God is talking to me. What should you do? This is the beginning of Adam ki yakriv mikem. When God brings you closer, what should you do? So then comes the second part of the verse. And the verse says, you have to offer yourself to God. Mina beheima, from animals. Which animals? Like, bring an animal to the temple? Forget it, we don't have a temple today. So what do? Bring your own animal. Each one of us has an animal inside of him, or her, whatever. So this is what God is expecting you to bring to him. Bring your animal to him. This is one explanation Alter Rebbe gives. The second one, after all that I explained, is going to be very easy to understand. It's just like a small variation of this first explanation, which is the first part of the verse is also talking about you. Adam ki yakriv mikem, not God. That's one explanation. Another explanation is you. When you, Adam, or you're a man, woman, whatever, you're a human being, want to be closer to God, how do you do that? Bring your animal to God. And each one of us has inside a different type of animal. That's why there are different types of animals in the offerings. One, there's a few people, one kind of people are like oxes, strong and one kind of people are like sheep, quiet, no problems, cold. So each one of us has a different type of animal. That type of animal you have to bring to God. That's a spiritual, so to speak, meaning of offerings. Just to close the ideas, today, we also have offerings, but in a way of prayer. Our sages say that prayer is a replacement for the offerings. That's why if you pick up a siddur, a prayer book, Jewish prayer book, you're going to find different kinds of a very, I don't know the exact words, but a very structure, a very fixed structure. Of prayer in the morning, prayer in the afternoon, prayer at night, etc. That's a replacement of the offering in the morning, the offering in the afternoon, the burning of the fats during the night, and in Shabbat or special days, you have additional offering that's called Musaf, additional That's a replacement of the additional offerings in the specific holidays, etc., etc. So prayer is the way we get closer to God. It's the replacement for the offerings, and that's the way we get closer to God.